Hello again there, folks. I wanted to do a bit of a stripped down basic video on what's going on across the northeast and North Tyneside, especially at the minute, which is the level of construction work, which is taking over everything. Basically, in North Tyneside, they're going to build 40,000 homes till the year 2030, and it's something that everybody's complaining about in Northeast. Nobody can really understand why we need this many houses. They don't understand how all of the land can be so easily taken over. And it's when you look into it and you look into the plans, it's where basically in North Tyneside, by 2030, there's not going to be a single green field or countryside left whatsoever. There'll be nothing. Everything will just be one gigantic suburban sprawl emanating out of Newcastle. And up here in North Tyneside, it's becoming a thing which everybody's talking about, and nobody really knows how it can be stopped. Nobody wants it. Nobody's particularly happy about it. And one of the reasons is that North Tyneside is very heavily industrialised, and we had a lot of brownfield sites. But the problem that people have when they're trying to get to grips with this is that they assume that the land would be settled. But when you look at Newcastle, and then along the Tyne to the east, and you have Wall's End, you had North Shields, it was all very industrial. And then that would go further north out of Newcastle. It would be Gosforth and somewhere else, I forgot, the Jesmond. And then what you would enter into in North Tyneside would be the rural landscape, and which was peppered with small villages. And that would be because a pit would have popped up a long time ago, 150 years ago. There would be a pit, and then there would be a village formed around the pit, and then there would be a few miles between each village. And so North Tyneside and then into Northumberland was pockmarked with these small villages. And what we're seeing now is where the gaps between the villages are completely disappearing because of the scale of the housing. And as I say, to the point where there's not even going to be any green fields left whatsoever. And so what was a distinct part of the country, with each village had its own identity, its own pubs, its own families, even its own dialects. And what's going to happen is that all of these villages are going to be submerged, and in fact they almost already have. And so eventually, and it's spreading out into Northumberland as well. And so people are asking, is it all for immigrants? So we get 300,000 immigrants in every year. Are immigrants being moved into these houses? And the answer to that is no. They're not being built for immigrants. Immigrants are coming in, and they are taking the old lower tier housing, and then the new builds, because they're all new build houses, and some of them are good, some of them are nice, some of these areas are it's not that bad, but there's nowhere for people in their 20s and 30s to buy a house because the immigrants have took them all. And this is across all of England as well. There's an element of white flight to this. There's an element of people moving from other areas to the northeast and looking for a house. And so the demand for housing is triggered by the 300,000 immigrants coming in every year. And then when the government say we need so many houses, this is why. Because then people, there's a shortage, and it's created a demand in the market for housing. And the government is even stepping in with these complicated plans and freezer accounts to help people get on the property ladder. And it's, It's on the one hand, it's hard to blame people for wanting to get out and get a new house in a decent enough area, but the problem is, why are we in this situation? And it's when the government says the immigrants are good for the economy, they often get shot down, and people will point out the immigrants are on benefits and everything. But in actual fact, when you look at it in just a sheer mass of people moving in, and then the amount of housing that's needed, and then that each new house is going to be sold for maybe 200 grand, so 150 to 250 grand seems to be the norm, you're looking at billions upon billions of pounds. And the only way, the two things standing in the way of that are the brownfield, because the northeast was heavily industrialised, and the farmers' fields. And now, I've actually spoken to a farmer, and he says that he'd get, say, 18 to 25 grand off a seed of off a field of rape seed. And if it's weather like what it is now, there's a very high chance that the field is going to be damaged by water, by heavy rainfall, or if you get an especially hot summer, then you're going to see that the field of the crop is ruined. And he can avoid all of this by just selling off his field to a construction company who'll give him a very handsome price for it. So in a way, the free market is responsible for this. The free market doesn't seem to have any way to prevent this suburbanization of all green spaces, because people will go after the money. The other one is brownfield sites. Now, in the northeast, because we had that many pits, there's people got the impression that it was that it was just countryside later, but then they also thought, well, the pits went derelict, and then they would go out on the walking the pits, and these huge piles of slag, which peppered the northeast, and they were turned into country parks, but the land itself was brownfield, and so it was owned by the council, and it could really easily be taken, be turned into housing. And the council themselves have a lot to gain from this, because they're going to get more taxes, more council tax, from all of the new people that will be moving into these areas. So it's the council that's pushing very hard on it. And there's this, in just all in all, there's this huge incentive towards turning the northeast, and it's already going up into Northumberland as well. Eventually, you'll be able to drive from Newcastle to Morpeth and probably not see a single green field, which is just 20 years ago, that would be unthinkable. And the problem that people have who are actually from the area is that this is their identity is disappearing before their eyes. Now, fair enough, there's things are going on in other parts of the country where people are getting the brunt of the immigrants themselves. It gets a lot harder than that. But still, you can see that people are a little bit confused, because they're thinking, well, I used to be able to go for a walk in the fields after work, and now I have to get in the car, or I have to get a bus. And you feel as if you're slipping further and further into suburbia. So you buy a house, and then 10 years later, you buy a house, and it's on the edge of a swathe of countryside. And then 10 years later, you're in the middle of a gigantic suburban sprawl. And these new estates as well are just completely lifeless. And they don't actually interact with the villages that they're springing up all around. So the villages would have a settled community in their own life, their own pub. Everybody would know each other. Maybe the village would be 5,000 people or whatever. And then all of a sudden they find themselves in the middle of a giant housing estate surrounded by, say, 15,000 people on all sides. But they don't actually interact with them, because these new estates, they don't have parks, they don't have pubs, they're comfortable enough houses, that they're well built, but they're not really built for a community or any kind of organic life. When you look at them, they're just there to house workers who work in a service economy. So they're there to house sales representatives and people who sit on telephones and sit in cubicles all day. They're there just so when you've gone through this soul-destroying job, and then you're going to come home, and until you have to go back to work, you get to sit in this house. But there's no pub around these areas. There's no kids playing in the street. That hasn't been considered at all. Maybe because people don't have kids anymore. And so this is built for people who go to work and then come back to their house and then watch Celebrities on Ice and don't really have any kind of community life at all. And you can see that this is playing. They are building these houses, and all of the estates are being designed with atomization in mind. But because of the slow creep of it all, well, it's not that slow, but because of this, the way this creeps in North Tyneside, it all of a sudden you go for a walk and you go to these places like what I've been, and then you see that in actual fact there's we're down to about two stretches of fields now, and what was a community life dotted, peppered around, with a few miles between all of these villages of the northeast and then into Northumberland. In actual fact, they're all gone now. It's just north of Newcastle is just one giant housing estate to house workers, and so we're not really given the chance if we want to live like this. There's the this is like so many other issues. In the modern world, this has never been asked. We were never asked about the immigration, which kick-start all of this. We've never been asked whether we wanted the green fields concreted over. Nothing. It's all, and you begin to see that your whole way of looking at the world, your whole way of being in the world, is you're in control of none of it. What you are is just an economy. So when the government say all of this is good for the economy, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is great for the economy. I'm sure it's great for the banks, all of those mortgages and all of those loans. But the question that people need to be asking is the economy good for us? Because the quality of life is going down the toilet, and because of the economy. Because it's seen as axiomatic that the economy leads people to be happy. But if you're now living in a life where you go to work and then you come and sit in your new build semi and watch Love Island and sink a bottle of wine because you don't know anybody in the area, you're completely on your own, you're atomized, there's no pubs where you can just go for a few pints and have a bit chat, there's nothing going on, you come home, you sit and watch the television, and then all of the people who are there before you have seen their identities, all of this greenery is just completely gone. And is it enough just to have these producer consumer units where even the houses are units as well? Another thing that I've noticed when I was looking at the council's blurb on this on their website is that they are aware that there's issues about the environment. So, protecting the environment, protecting green spaces is this big thing these days. And they've sort of rationalised their way around that by saying, well, we're going to build the estate on top of these fields and on top of this rural area, but we are all then going to plant trees along the gardens and along the roads, as if that makes any difference. Or they'll say that there's not going to be any noise pollution, that the water will not be poisoned. And all of these things, when that's really not what people were asking. And so even the idea of having this eco-friendly green attitude has been rationalized and framed in a certain way where it won't stop the economy at all. In fact, it actively facilitates it because they can reasonably say, well, we will manage the land. with houses on it, of course, for the mortgages and for the banks, but we're going to manage it in a more green way. We're going to create tunnels under the roads for the badgers, which aren't there now, and so on and on. But again, what's been removed from the equation is just the well-being of the people themselves. You can't rationalise everything in life like this. So they manage the population as being managed, the in order to facilitate the economy, which the economy is being managed, the population of workers is being managed and housed in these units, and then the environment, everything is being micro and macro managed, and nothing is left, nothing organic is being left at all. But if you're going to bring this thing up, if you're going to raise this with people, I used to think this was a bit of a sort of soft-cooked argument against mass immigration, because it would be, we have to plant the flag, it has to be explicitly, we are this group and all of that. That's fair enough. But the fact is, people are really concerned about where all of this is going. Because where is it going? When does it stop? Is it going to be where England is just one gigantic slab of concrete, you know? And to get back to the issue with the way the Green Brigade have rationalised this, or the way the council frame is, another example of that is the South Downs in Sussex, which I saw. And so you can't actually build on the South Downs, but they'll have maybe a stretch of brownfield at the bottom of these rolling, lovely rolling hills, or they'll have a field there or whatever. But then what they do is they'll buy up the land that's at the foot of these hills and turn that into a housing estate or a retail park. And so then when you're standing on top of this area of beauty, you're not actually looking at rolling hills anymore. You're looking down on a council estate or a retail park or whatever it happens to be. And the view has been completely destroyed, but technically they haven't actually built on the South Downs, and that's how they're looking at this, and that's how they're looking at it in the northeast, but slightly different. They'll say, well, the brownfield sites used to be pit. You forgot about that. It was never actually nature, because there used to be pits here, and so we can do whatever we want with the land. Well, the fact is, you know, over, say, the 30-odd years since the pit closed, all of this land, this empty wasteland, became quite natural and became a pleasant open space to spend time. But they've got you there as well. They get in the same way that they can reclassify fields. So a field is a green belt, but then they'll just reclassify it. They can't build on green belt, but they'll reclassify it and call it brownfield. So then they can build on it. And the Green Party do this as well. The Green Party in Britain supports mass immigration, and when they come, and when you say, well, hang on a minute, there's not going to be any green spaces left. How can you possibly support that? Leaving aside issues of identity and ethnicity and race, culture, leave all that aside and just look at the numbers. How can you support that? And they you can see it in their own manifesto. They've got all of this bullshit and all of this wriggle room to justify it by reframing what it is to protect green spaces. And I think this is, because if you could raise a stink about the mass construction, it's too late for Tyneside. Tyneside's gone. Northumberland's going to be the next battlefield, but there's only about 8 fields left in North Tyneside. And they're already going up into Northumberland, and I know that this is happening all over in the country. But then it becomes a case of where people can say, okay, I'm not a racist. I don't want to get involved in all of that. But I don't want to live in this endless ocean of concrete, new build houses and retail parks either. You can at least begin to try and formulate it and frame it in that way, instead of just leaving it to fester. And so I think I'm going to go... maybe do a few videos out and about visiting these places in the weeks ahead. So let's see what happens. Thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you later.